Chapter 15, Meeting the Veterinarian. Melissa did everything she could to keep her neck steady in her collar as she shuffled next to Killian. His grip on her collar was unrelenting, making her keep her head at an angle where she could only see his crotch. She had to match his pace, otherwise the top of the collar would jam into her jaw, force an awkward tilt of her head, while the other side would press uncomfortably into her neck.
"Please, slow down, sir,"
Melissa kept pleading as they walked. Killian wasn't hurrying. In fact, he was walking at his usual leisurely pace. However, for Melissa, his speed seemed rushed as she was forced to move in a bent-over posture. Her hands were cuffed behind her back, which impaired her balance and would make a fall disastrous. Her ankles were shackled together. The length of the hobble chain was generous, but it was still a new and intimidating obstacle she feared tripping over. At times when she fell out of step with Killian, the collar pressed on her windpipe and caused her to cough. Killian eventually reduced his speed, but only after her requests had become increasingly distressed. They reached the white room where a workbench stood, a chain dangling from its headboard. There was a sink adjacent to it, from which a hose coiled. Here, Killian released her collar from his grip, allowing Melissa to straighten and breathe freely again. He unlocked her handcuffs and instructed her to mount the workbench. Once she was settled on it, he fastened the chain to her collar, securing her in place. Killian stated that she was sweaty. He was right. It had been the stress of keeping up with him that had caused her to sweat. He detached the hose from the nearby sink and proceeded to hose Melissa down. She instinctively lifted her arms to shield her face from the forceful spray. He instructed her to rise to her knees and place her hands at the back of her head, which she did, allowing him to rinse her front. He then directed her to turn, and he cleaned her back and her feet. Afterwards, he left, leaving her alone. Melissa remained chained to the workbench, waiting to be tended to. She squeezed the water from her hair, and it trickled down from the bench in a slow drip. Eventually, Nala arrived. Upon noticing Melissa's wet state, she fetched a towel and began to dry both Melissa and the bench. Melissa asked Nala what she would do to her. Nala replied she was prepping Melissa for the upcoming visit from the veterinarian. Nala stepped away briefly, returning with a set of curved metal plates linked by a hinge. When held together, they created a series of four openings along the plates. Melissa eyed the device with dread and resignation. She didn't know what it was, but she had a bad feeling about it. She was chained by her neck to this workbench, and her naked body provided ample target surface to shock her into submission with a cattle prod. Whatever it was they had in mind for her, it would be done to her regardless of how she felt about it. Nala placed the contraption on the workbench.
"What is that?"
Melissa asked.
"It's a safety device we use to ensure you remain stationary during treatment,"
Nala answered.
"Sudden movements from animals can jeopardize medical procedures."
By now, Melissa scarcely reacted to being called an animal, her attention primarily captured by this ominous tool. Her gaze was fixed on it, full of suspicion.
"Kneel and face towards the sink,"
Nala instructed. Eager to remain in Nala's favor, Melissa followed the instructions. Nala positioned the device behind Melissa's feet, aligning the bars from herself to the headboard with the hinge at its side. She then unfolded the device. The lower part stayed on the workbench, while the upper part arched up and then back down, resting against the headboard. Nala removed Melissa's ankle chains.
"Place your ankles in the outer holes,"
Nala instructed. Melissa glanced back at the apparatus. She inserted her left ankle into the first opening. To fit her right ankle into the adjacent hole, she had to splay her knees wide apart.
"Good,"
Nala acknowledged.
"Now, reach back through your legs and insert your hands into the central holes."
Melissa had never encountered a device like this before, and the thought of being trapped in it filled her with fear. She wanted nothing more than to avoid it, but she knew resistance was futile. Eventually, she'd be forced into it anyway. Disobedience would only earn her the painful touch of the cattle prod, and more importantly, it would jeopardize her relationship with Nala, the only one who spoke to her like a human, even if she didn't treat her as an equal. With a resigned sigh, Melissa complied, stretching her arms between her legs to place her hands into the designated slots. It was too far away, so Nala helped her by sliding the device further towards her so she could reach it more easily. Once positioned, Nala lowered the upper bar, effectively clamping Melissa's limbs between the two metal sheets. Nala then locked the two plates together. Melissa was immobilized. She found herself confined in a device akin to a pillory, with no room to maneuver. Her position left her exposed, her buttocks elevated, and legs forced wide, providing unhindered access to her most private areas. Her hands, secured within the device, pulled her shoulders down, her face pressed against the workbench. She could muster just enough strength to temporarily raise her torso to survey her surroundings, but the strain on her shoulders soon compelled her to rest her head back down. When she attempted to close her legs to shield her exposure, a sharp pain shot through her legs. Her limbs were firmly restrained by the restraining pillory. She sighed audibly. Nala, noticing her discomfort, approached and tenderly ran her fingers through Melissa's hair, making soothing sounds.
"Try to stay calm, Melissa. It will be all right. The vet is on his way. And once he is done with you, you'll be let out of the restraining pillory,"
Nala reassured her. Nala took out a tube. She gently turned Melissa's head so she was facing the wall. Then Nala took some cream out of the tube and rubbed it into Melissa's right ear.
"What are you doing?"
Melissa asked.
"Doctor's orders. He asked me to put some on your ear."
Melissa didn't ask any further. What Nala was doing wasn't causing her any pain, and that was all she was worried about at the moment. When she was done, Nala left. With a sigh, Melissa turned her head to the other side so she could watch what was going on in the hall. She rested her head on the workbench and waited. After a while, the vet arrived with Nala. He had a briefcase that he put on the workbench behind Melissa. He took out a clipboard and went to where Melissa's head was. He read out,
"Melissa Mara."
Melissa looked up at him from her awkward position and said,
"Yes, sir."
The vet reached for her collar. Melissa raised her head up so he would have easier access. She heard the chain drag along the workbench as it got pulled up with her collar. The vet checked the number on the tag that was affixed to her collar and compared it to his notes. Everything seemed to be in order.
"What will you do to me, sir?"
Melissa asked. In her vulnerable and immobilized state, she remembered the sir. It would be too easy to inflict pain on her in this position. The vet seemed surprised at first that Melissa would ask him a direct question.
"We have to apply identification,"
he said.
"It is done for all livestock imports these days."
Melissa didn't know what that meant. The vet rummaged in his suitcase. Then he came back to her. She saw him hold what looked like a syringe in his hand. The needle was not long, but it looked unusually thick.
"Please hold still, Miss Mara,"
he told her.
"No,"
Melissa said, lifting her upper body up as much as she could, which wasn't much.
"What is that?"
She struggled against the restraining pillory, but this just caused her pain in her wrists and ankles, which made her hiss in pain. But it didn't allow her any movement, so she gave up.
"Miss Mara, please stay calm,"
the vet said. To Nala, he said,
"If you could please, Mr. Des."
Nala came around and gently but firmly pushed Melissa's upper body down. Lifting her upper body up in the restraining pillory was taxing for Melissa, and so it took little strength on Nala's part to gently push her down on the workbench. Nala made calming sounds and stroked Melissa's head while holding her down. Melissa heard a spray and felt a cool moisture on her back. A few seconds later, she picked up the smell of ethanol that reminded her of hospitals. A few moments later, Melissa felt the pain of the needle between her shoulder blades. The needle was big and inserting it hurt. It felt like the vet was pushing the needle deep into her, somewhere next to her spine. Melissa groaned from the pain of the injection. Finally, the vet pulled the needle out. Melissa heard him put the syringe back into his suitcase. Nala let go of Melissa.
"See, it is done now,"
she said, stroking her one last time before letting go. When he came back, he pushed a Band-Aid on the injection site.
"What was that, sir?"
Melissa asked.
"A microchip, Miss Mora,"
the vet explained.
"You have chipped me."
Melissa was incredulous, lifting her upper body up in anger. Nala gently pushed her back down on the table and stroked her hair to calm her.
"Yes,"
the vet said, not caring that she had forgotten to use the honorific. He rested his elbow on Melissa's upraised buttocks, as if it was a piece of furniture, looked at her and lectured.
"The chip contains a unique identifier that links to your comprehensive health record. This allows for immediate access to your medical history, including vaccinations, diagnosis, and other pertinent health information upon scanning. This technology eliminates the need for physical files, streamlining data management. Similar systems are utilized in livestock management to maintain continuity of care when animals change ownerships and to prevent identity fraud or theft. In the event of theft, this chip can facilitate the verification of ownership and support in recovery efforts. Additionally, it aids in tracking for breeding and health management programs."
"How could you do that?"
Melissa cried out. Her face was red with impotent anger.
"My owner did not authorize this."
"Miss Mara, the implantation of a microchip is now a routine practice for imported livestock. This procedure has been standard for several years."
"Can it be removed?"
"If your owner desires, the chip can be removed, although it's located near the spinal cord, which complicates the procedure and is generally not recommended. The chip's purpose is to serve as a lifelong identifier, ensuring that any veterinarian can access your complete health records instantly. This not only simplifies medical care, but also benefits you by ensuring consistent and accurate medical attention wherever you are. The chip allows for health data to be accessed via a smartphone with the Mutag Explorer app, negating the need for paper records, which are prone to loss or damage."
Anyone with a smartphone could access all of her health data.
"Mutag?"
she asked.
"It was initially used to track tagged cows, but then people realized it could be used for any chipped or ear-tagged animal." "Allow me a moment to verify,"
the veterinarian said, to pull out his smartphone. He tapped around a bit, then he said,
"Yes, here we are. I've successfully scanned your chip from this distance, which indicates that it's functioning well. These advanced chips are designed for ease of access from several meters away. At present, your health file shows no entries, but we will soon populate it with the data from your upcoming tests."
Nala was making shushing sounds and stroking Melissa's hair to calm her down. Then the veterinarian returned with what looked like a pincer and a yellow plastic tag.
"What are you doing to me?"
Melissa asked.
"Miss Mara, please turn your head to face the wall if you would."
"What is that?"
Melissa asked with some fear.
"This is an identification ear tag I will affix to you,"
the veterinarian replied.
"What?"
Melissa was confused. Then she realized what the veterinarian was planning.
"No, please, you can't do that to me."
Melissa struggled to pull her hands out of the restraining pillory, but there was hardly any visible movement. Melissa hissed in pain. She felt trapped and was panting as panic built up in her. Nala made shushing noises and gently guided her head so she was facing the wall with her right ear up. The vet went to where Nala was standing, and Nala moved to make room for him.
"It will be quick,"
Nala reassured her.
Just hold still for one more moment, and then it will be over.
The vet gently held her head in place while positioning the ear tagger. Nala, in the meantime, moved down to the end of the table where Melissa's feet were. She held Melissa's clamped down hands in her own. She pressed them to show her moral support. Melissa tried not to imagine what she must look like to Nala from her point of view. In her desperation, she was clutching to any sign of support, regardless how small, and held Nala's hands in return. Melissa screamed as the ear tagger pierced her ear and affixed the ear tag to her. After the initial shock, Melissa noticed that while her ear felt uncomfortable, the pain was not as bad as she had feared. The scream had been out of fear and the knowledge that the ear tag would be stapled to her ear, with a short but sturdy metal rod, which without anesthetic would have been painful. She remembered the cream that Nala had applied on the ear after she had locked her into the restraining pillory. It must have been an anesthetic. Still, she was angry about what had been done to her.
How could you do that to me? I'm not cattle. You had no right to do that.
Nala let go of one of her hands and stroked her lower leg, the one closest to her, to calm Melissa.
It is over now,
Nala said to her in a calming voice. Melissa fell silent, feeling defeated. She was tightly restrained, restricting almost all movement. The veterinarian could do anything he wanted with her, and she was powerless to resist. Nala had mentioned that the ordeal was over, suggesting that the worst had passed and things might improve. She couldn't imagine what she looked like now. This was getting worse all the time, from the initial collar to being stripped naked and now being chipped and tagged like cattle. Melissa decided she would ask Arbeck to remove the ear tag at the earliest opportunity. She hoped she could get the chip out too. Nala had let go of her hands and started applying some disinfecting gel to her ear.
Miss Tadesi, please monitor Miss Maura to ensure the bleeding ceases,
the vet instructed Nala.
Once you've confirmed that all is well, you may release her from the restraining device.
Yes, doctor,
Nala replied.
I'll see you tomorrow, Miss Tades,
the vet said to Nala and
Miss Maura
to Melissa. Then he left. Nala took out a disinfecting wipe and gently cleaned Melissa's ear.
The bleeding should stop soon,
she told Melissa.
I'll be back to check on you.
With that, Nala left Melissa in the restraining pillory on the workbench. Melissa left her head facing the wall so the tag would be on top to avoid pressure on it, and waited. She felt as if her ear was pulsating. She knew the procedure must have been painful, but the analgesic cream was strong and muted the pain down to a discomfort. Still, she knew that she couldn't rest her head on her right ear at the moment, so she made sure to keep it up. Melissa's shoulders were feeling uncomfortable from being held down by the restraining pillory. After what felt like an eternity, but was really just 15 minutes, Nala returned. She inspected the ear and seemed satisfied. She cleaned it again with a wipe and applied some more of the analgesic cream. Then she unlocked the bars of the restraining pillory that was holding Melissa down and folded the upper bar open. Melissa breathed in a sigh of relief as her hands were released from this device. Her face and her eyes were still reddish from the stress and crying. She placed herself upright and pushed her shoulders back. Now that she finally could do that again, her hands immediately went to her right ear to feel the tag that had been affixed to her ear. She winced as her fingers brushed against the tender spot. She tried pulling at the tag, but the pain stopped her. Nala took a hold of her hands.
Don't touch it. The wound has to heal.
Nala left, and Melissa, who was still chained to the headboard, sat up and leaned against the headboard, still struck by what had just been done to her. In any case, there was nothing she could do about it. She was under the control of the health office. Once she was with Arbeck, she would ask him to remove the ear tag. It had to go as soon as possible. Even when Arbeck set her free, the ear tag had to go. She couldn't bear the thought of returning to England with an ear tag for everyone to see. After about another 15 minutes, Nala returned with a glass of water and two pills.
"Take the pills," she said. "They will help with the pain."
The last thing Melissa wanted was pain, so she complied and took Nala's pills and washed them down with water.
"Let me check your ear," Nala said. "Lay down on the table with your right ear up."
Melissa complied, and Nala inspected her ear.
"It looks good,"
she said.
"The bleeding has stopped."
Nala cleaned Melissa's ear again with a disinfectant wipe.
"Try not to touch it, Melissa. The wound has to heal, okay?"
Melissa nodded. Then Nala let Melissa sit up.
"You don't need this anymore,"
Nala said, and reached to Melissa's collar to remove the tag she had attached to her collar in the morning.
"Your ear tag will be used now to identify you."
Nala unlocked the chain from the workbench so it functioned as a leash again.
"Come, let's get you out of here,"
Nala said.